Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning, morning, morning. Welcome to Running Commentary on this most glorious Monday morning.
Beautiful Monday. Every Monday is a new beginning.
And every Monday is a new
beginning.
Even
newer beginning because it's the first of flimmin' February.
It is the first of February. We're off with that. Thank goodness. January didn't last long enough, did it?
No, I was hoping they were going to do some quantitative easing and add 2 extra weeks to January.
I know, it could have lasted long. It just flew by. It just flew by. Things like only yesterday it was plans for Christmas. Incredible, incredible. But
yeah, hell of a month, hell of a month. Yeah, this time last week I was running in glorious sunshine and snow on Hackney Marshes and you were at home.
Yes.
This time this week I'm running in fairly cold still but very grey and miserable Newington Green. And,
yes.
Where are you, Paul? Where are you at home.
I remain at home. I'm nearing the end of my isolation. I suppose the headline is that I myself got COVID. I got it. Did you know I'd had it?
I saw this on on Facebook just seconds ago and thought, well, I'll find out for myself.
Okay, cool.
So only just is the answer to your question.
Yeah, I got it. I just started developing minor symptoms as the rest of the family came down with it. And then I tested, and then I got positive.
When was this? Like middle of last week?
Yeah, it was sort of early last week. It was when I did the podcast last week. I was feeling a little only ever mild symptoms, but just feeling a little bit under weather, but not really knowing what it was.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then I tested positive early Tuesday morning, and then I've been sort of isolating since then. But I must say my symptoms have been extremely mild. I mean, that Tuesday I stayed in bed, but if you hadn't told me I'd got COVID, I wouldn't have. It's just a bit shocking to get the diagnosis, you know. So I thought I'll just stay in bed, so I did. Which means that everyone was basically in bed, which means nothing happens. No one eats. It's just complete stasis. I mean, we were reliant on George, bless him, to feed the family. And he stepped manfully into the role, but standards of service slipped markedly.
So when are George and Rudy going to have it, just to join the club?
I know, we'll have missed out. I don't know. They've had a couple of tests since then and tested negative. So I just assume they're not going to get it now because there's no symptoms in the house anymore. Nothing's happened.
Yeah, right. It's crazy that you got it and had the vaccine like in one moment. You're like Mr. Pie, the Mervyn Peake character, who's such a good person. He grows wings, so he doesn't like having wings, so he starts doing horrible things and he grows horns, and then in the end he's just got horns and wings. That's essentially you.
It's just crazy. I mean, I had the it's like a really bad Craig David song. I got the vaccine on Thursday and then I got tested positive for COVID on Tuesday.
But weirdly you were making love by Wednesday, so that's nice.
There's been very little of that, but listen, that's another podcast. But no, it was
I
just,
don't want to hear it.
It's just purely by chance. Of course it got massive chance elements that I had the vaccine, and I must say it's it's hard to know what exactly happened, but if I'm looking at the results of it, I have to say it's made me pretty pro-vaccine, because honestly, I've compared to the rest of my family, who are now emerging and fine. I mean, Bonnie's completely recovered. Rachel's still occasionally a little bit tired in the day, but essentially it's over. I mean,
yeah. You know, I don't think that's much to do with the vaccine, though. I think the real trick is that the vaccine is, you got it slightly too late. You know, COVID-19 is like, phew!
Yeah.
You got him just before his vaccine worked.
Yeah. It's a weird one. I can only assume it was working after about 3 or 4 days, because that's when I was exposed to it. I mean, listen, we don't know, but I'd advise people. It made me think this vaccine's pretty decent, because...
But then that doesn't, I don't know, it's not medicine though, is it? It's supposed to stop you getting it, not make you feel better when you've got it.
No, but they've said it's not going to, especially the first dose isn't going to stop you getting it, but it's going to minimise symptoms. And it obviously drastically did, you know. It's just sort of incomparable. I mean, Rachel lost a sense of taste in bed for like 4 or 5 days, really. And I was literally fine. I was in bed on the Tuesday, but by Wednesday I was absolutely fine. Absolutely. Yeah, so, yeah.
So Thursday and Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, chilled on Sunday.
Did you chill yesterday?
there's been a lot of chilling, but I'll be honest, the whole thing's left me quite elated.
Hold up, I'm at a junction and I couldn't hear you then because someone drove off the lights really, really fast.
Well, no,
I'm by Hinton's, heading down towards the Beauvoir town, just
all
to
right,
give you a
nice.
Little mental picture.
Nice.
So, sorry, what
nice.
Was the last thing you said?
I was saying the whole thing's left me fairly... I don't know whether it's the vaccine or the fact I still haven't had a drink, but it's left me fairly... I feel fairly elated. I feel really good. You've come
out of the other side of quite an incredible January, haven't you? And it's,
I think so.
You didn't have... You'd done 31 straight days in 2021 without booze.
31 straight days, no booze. And I mean, that's longer than I have done in an awful long time.
And
I feel fine.
You said it yourself. You've just not drunk through the longest month in the history of Britain.
Yeah. I know it's... I'm not missing it. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
I can't say the same thing. I mean, sometimes I like to. I've stayed with my rules for the year.
Yes.
But there has been some drinking on the weekends. And in February, I'm going to go to one day a week.
Right.
But also try and be sensible. Because yet again, on Friday night, I did that thing. I think you might remember I did this over Christmas, where a Zoom call led to... A frightening amount of drunkenness, frankly. Put it this way, me and my wife had to apologise to our children on Saturday morning. Just because we've been a little bit gleeful on Saturday
That's
night.
Good for
hey!
You. Good for you.
You can't go to bed, it's a party!
Good for you. That's good. You shouldn't be apologising for that. That's great. That sounds good.
Well, I mean, I think a certain level of apology is appropriate.
Yeah,
but
we
were talking about it. It's just because they're very smart and serious children. They were mildly ashamed of us.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's when a Zoom conversation arranged for the early evening goes off. That's what happens.
Was it Zoom with old mate sort of thing? Was it an old mate?
Well, it was actually family. It was Julia's little sister, my sister-in-law, and her husband.
Right.
And just catching up, you know.
Yeah.
We had a really good chat. We all had a drink on the go, and we were talking about running, which I don't know if you know, but I quite like talking about that.
I would see that as one of your subjects, definitely.
And you do it early evening, so we didn't have any food in us.
Yeah,
and sure,
that's
you
always
think that's okay, we'll have some crisps. But I just realised that when you're in a pub, I mean, that can really happen in a pub. But there's a really good set of breaks in a pub where you have to kind of take in turns to go to the bar and let money change hands. And also that vague, more ancient sense of waiting for each other.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
The kind of thing that leads to toasting, like back in the old days when people...
Yes,
everyone,
of course.
I remember being in Sweden, and it was still quite formal when you're drinking at a dinner table. You basically catch everyone else's eye and sip. At the same time, every time you drink.
Yeah.
That's really good sense.
It
what
is,
we
yeah.
had was, you know,
everyone's
lager
everyone's
and a
untethered.
Bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Me
yeah,
and
yeah.
Judith might, was just pouring into us without us even noticing.
Yeah, everyone's on their own pace, aren't they? Everyone's setting their own pace. Yeah, that's
the. Yeah, and our, you know, the computer we were zooming on is about 5 feet from the fridge.
Right.
Anyway, long story short. Do you want a sweet? You can't have a sweet. Do you want a sweet? You can't have a sweet. Shut up, Dad.
That's, well, listen, it's happened. It's happened to a lot of people, hasn't it? I mean, I'm certainly never going to judge anyone for a booze. Rachel's fallen back onto the sauce, though I'm not allowed to talk about it. Because we're in a kind of pact with Julie and Matt, and they...
Is this you not talking about it?
Yeah, this is me not talking about it. They fell off Thursday, Friday, and then once they sort of fell off back into the booze, then that's kind of, it's a bit of a green flag. So Rara had one drink last night, but she's not going to finish the bottle. That's important, that she's not going to finish the... Just because she's opened it, that doesn't mean that she's going to finish that. She's finished the bottle.
No. So that's, I've got to say, I think that green flag is a little bit of a red flag.
Yeah.
I think you need to wave the black and white flag.
Yeah.
Has that helped?
Yeah. Yes, but she's, again, no judgment. Perhaps I'm just a little bit better. Should we leave it there? Just no, no real judgment. Just testament to my self-discipline.
This bullying, teasing thing you do with your family, does that play in your house? How does it play?
Pretty badly. Basically, everyone else is drinking so much because I'm such a pain in the arse. I think that's basically what's happening.
None of them were drinking, but now they're drinking deeply whilst looking you in the eye.
What, with
like
that?
Diametric opposite of the Swedish drinker I was talking about. It's like with a look, a beaming glare that says, I'm drinking right now. What are you going to do?
What with that and my vaccine smugness, it's all been a little bit intolerable, I think.
I don't think you can be that smug about a vaccine you took for a disease that you then got.
But I'm telling you, man, that even the first dose, is good news. That's what I'm
saying. Oh, yeah.
I think me and you didn't share an anniversary, but your anniversary... Is that your wedding anniversary yesterday?
No, our wedding anniversary is in May.
Right.
But our couple anniversary is January 31st.
Right.
And it's quite a big deal because it was cuspal. When we got together, it was like the very last day of us working together because we were both being so relentlessly professional.
Of course.
So we'd been mooning over each other for months.
Yes.
And everyone knew that we, you know, better than us.
It was,
but we were like, oh, we're very professional, we're working. And so I'm going home today. Yeah. And we went, okay. And then because we were both on tour, we didn't see each other for like... I don't know, 2 months.
Wow.
So the whole first few weeks of our relationship were all conducted. It was the 90s, you know, so it was pretty much conducted by fax.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it was a key moment in our relationship. And I felt bad, actually, because, of course, I just assumed that everyone celebrates two anniversaries there. Couple's anniversary
together.
And a wedding anniversary, but there was some misunderstanding yesterday.
No, but it's interesting because yesterday was what is mine and Rachel's 23rd wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary!
It was just interesting. Yeah, it was nice. It was.
Why didn't you blooming let up a little bit and have a drink with the woman, for goodness'
lovely
sake?
Lovely day. We just stayed in, mate. We just took it easy. Just stayed in. But 23. We're 2 years off the silver. Yeah, I think it's the silver. 25. We'll go large then. I might have a drink then. But it's just funny the shared anniversaries. And how have you been? How's the running been? Have you had a decent week? Has it been okay?
Yeah, it's been really good actually. It was an incredible week. I mean, in any other week I'd have so much to tell you, but you always trumpet with your contemporary virus related excitements, you know, and things that 2 days ago, you know, on Saturday my row with the builder seemed like one of the most exciting things that ever happened, but
no,
it's all fading into the darkness.
Well, you bring me news from outside. That's what you can bring.
I bring news.
Yeah,
I bring news, my lord.
I can start going out again tomorrow.
Excellent.
But yeah, which I'm very much looking forward to. But yeah,
well, I can tell you from
running around
straight
here,
from the horse's mouth, that it's very, very muddy in Queens and Highgate Woods.
Okay, cool.
Very muddy indeed. One of the reasons I'm just going over the canal. I'm going over the canal into Beauvoir. My route today, I'm going straight south along the quiet cycle route.
Yeah.
Which takes me into kind of Hoxton and beyond to the city. And even as I look, I can see the towpath, which I miss because I can't go down there, there's too many people, but it's down below us, so I'm taking a picture so you'll be able to see this afterwards.
Cool.
And There's someone running. See, that's a good pick. Okay, so yeah, incredible week. There was your excitement and the snow.
Yes.
And
which was amazing.
Blooming that run I was on. I ran to Hackney Marshes, and then me and you had a run chat.
Yeah.
And I improvised a couple of little extra. I just literally kind of ran in a loose circle around Hackney Marshes.
Yeah.
And added in a quarter of Hackney Downs.
Yeah.
And I got back to my front door. This is last Monday. And exactly 10 miles, 10.00.
Nice.
And then my phone battery died.
Perfect.
It was just beautiful. It was just a wonderful thing.
Yeah, that's
and,
perfect.
And also, you know, similar kind of excitement. We submitted both our tax returns. Just a real thrill.
Yeah,
incredible
yeah.
Times.
That, yeah, it's and then, very important to do that. Yeah.
That's important and yeah. No fun at all. So nice to have that over and always good to get it out of the way. January the 25th, that's our engagement anniversary.
Oh,
but I didn't
wow.
celebrate that online because that would get really confusing.
Yeah. But, there's a lot going on. Late January.
Waterloo Bridge, I proposed. Where did you propose?
I proposed in Amberley Castle.
Nice.
It was nice.
Madam, would you step with me to the ramparts?
I was a little bit nervous, and I sort of handed Rachel a small box with a ring in it and said, "Do you fancy it?" And she thought I was like suggesting something else, and she thought there was some sort of weird toy in the box. but we once we
no, was going to open the box and find a picture of Patrick Swayze. Oh yeah. He's lovely.
Oh, yeah, I do now, and I've seen that.
But once we'd clear up the confusion, it worked out. How about you? What did you do?
I thought I'd propose on Waterloo Bridge. I wanted to do it somewhere kind of up high, like a blooming, that, what's it called, Tower 42, you know, the old NatWest Tower.
All right, okay.
But yeah. I couldn't afford it, so we're having a drink where she worked. And my idea was to make it look like we were walking down to the other side of the Thames to see an exhibition.
Yeah.
But it was pouring with rain, so I kept putting it off, because it hadn't crossed my mind that it was January and that the weather would be horrible and it would be dark.
Yeah.
I had much more of a Kinks song idea in my head, you know, this Waterloo sunset type deal.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, so she's getting really paranoid now, thinking we're going to miss the show at the exhibition. What the hell's happening? Because it was an envelope, because in the envelope was a picture of a ring, because I never bought a ring because I couldn't afford it.
Nice. And, yours is way more romantic. Yeah.
We eventually went to the middle of the bridge in the pouring sideways rain, and and I went down on one knee, and I said, "So will you or do you want it?" Or I gave her the envelope and she pulled out the picture of the engagement ring.
Oh.
And she said, and I was just lucky I didn't have to accept her first answer, because she said, "No." But she meant I don't believe it.
Of course.
I will not in a million years, thank goodness. Lucky for me.
That's beautiful. That's a nice story. That's a classic determination to enact a plan as well. Classic. Yes. Classic daring action. Yeah.
Even though parts of the plan were grossly ill thought out.
Yeah,
exactly
right.
I'm just now going past the corner of Shoreditch Park.
Right.
Where the Shoreditch 10K began.
Right.
So remember where we all had to wear the same top? And
oh.
A young PR woman saying, "Just making a few last-minute adjustments to the course," about 46 times before
how
we started.
How nostalgic
running.
We now are for those overpriced mass events.
Yes.
Bring please.
When will I get to? That's the last time I really felt like I was in a Hitler Youth.
Yeah. When can I next pay 40 quid to run 6 miles around London? Please, please bring those days back.
Can't wait for those days. That's the 25th.
Have you had a good week's training? You've been doing a bit of mileage, or what? You've done your 30.
Well, I did the 10 miles, and then we were really busy on Tuesday, and it was my wife's birthday on Wednesday, so I had 2 days off, and then we went for a run on Thursday, me and her. But she's got like an ankle niggle, so we went a bit shorter than usual. We did like 4 on Thursday, and on Friday, I thought, well, I'll go out and have a good, nice, long run. Specifically, it was because it was pouring with rain. Do you remember last Thursday night? It was just hammering it down with rain.
Yes. Yeah.
And I thought, well, if it's like that in the morning, I can go to places that normally I might not enjoy because there'd be too many people around, you know.
Right.
So, and the funny thing is, when it was pouring with rain on Friday morning, I thought, oh, no. I've got it, like you say, commitment to a plan.
Yes.
Yeah, I did not feel the same way as I had the night before, but I'd already said it by then, so I was committed. I was in a verbal contract with myself.
And also there's been a couple of days off in the week, and you feel it accumulating, don't you, the desire to make up for lost mile days sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. I wanted to get my mileage, and I've had quite an organic running January, but I've kept the miles up, you know. And so I wanted to. Anyway, it was a long story short, it was absolutely great because I headed off in the pouring rain up the Parkland Walk, and sure enough, there was less people there than there sometimes is, you know. Yes. And then the weather cleared up, but by that time I was well and truly out. So on your behalf, I took it round Queenswood.
Yeah.
And that top bit there through the trees, it was just hilarious. Yeah. It's amazing that I stayed on my feet.
Yeah.
And the low point really was Highgate Wood, where, you know, you can wade into thigh-deep mud and get off the path for an old lady with a dog.
Yeah.
And she'll still give you a look like you're a horrible person. It's like, you can't have both. Be in the way and disapprove of me for getting out of your way.
Yeah, she'll still take a rifle from a handbag and aim it in your direction.
And then I did the cut through to the heath. I went round the far side of the heath, and we have to go back because I know the way round. I got round the other side of the heath without getting lost.
Nice.
It was incredible.
Well, that sounds great.
Incredible scenes.
So that's quite.
Yeah, and I decided not to. I thought I'd be doing something literally. No idea, you know, between kind of 10 and 16 miles.
Yeah.
And I didn't look. I just did the. Followed my feet.
Yeah.
And the best bit was when I was coming down Parliament Hill and a little voice in my head said, you know, when you get to the bottom of the hill here, you haven't finished.
Yeah.
You've still got to run back to your house.
This is a long run you're doing.
Yeah.
This is a long one. Yeah.
So in the end, it was lovely, and it did kind of tap into that kind of event energy. But it was 13 miles.
That's a nice run, and lots of
trail, you know. That's absolutely covered in mud.
Yeah, that's a nice long run. You get a lot of strength from those long, slow runs and trail runs.
Yeah,
and
also, it was lovely.
Also, we've hit on a new maxim in terms of like Tonk's advice.
Go on.
Follow your feet. If you don't know where you're going, follow your feet. Your feet will take you where you're going to go. Chapter one.
Nice.
It's a good one, that one. Follow your feet.
What's the next chapter then?
Your arms have got to follow your feet. You can't. Your arms can't go where your feet don't know. Follow your feet.
Don't run like Michael Flatley.
This is the next book that's taking shape in my mind. The worst running book in history. Follow your feet. Start your watch at the start of the run and finish it and press stop at the end. Then you get your time.
I don't think it should be a book. I think it should be an app. And it's 365 days of wisdom from Tonks.
Yeah, there's definitely not a chapter in it, just a series of directives, you know. Wear shorts if you want to get your legs out. If you don't, cover up. There's lots to be said.
More clothes in colder temperatures. less clothes in warmer temperatures.
If you run bare feet, you might hurt them. That's it.
Good. That was really, I think that's...
There's a lot going on.
I've always remembered that one. That's March the 8th, I think.
There's a lot going on. I mean, but basically, another headline is I'm really missing running. Because
I bet you are.
Yeah. It's pretty drastic.
I mean, obviously, all bets are off because, like you say, you've all been ill, and you know you've got to work on whoever the chef is and so on. But have you been trying to? Have you put on weight? Have you been eating food at home in a good way, or what?
We've been eating okay. I mean, it's sort of. I mean, the not drinking has definitely. If I'd been drinking as well during this, it would have been really, really bad. I'm still eating about. What I have been doing, I haven't like massively reduced my diet or anything. Nothing affected my appetite, so I've just maintained. I just maintained my weight, which is in itself overweight. I maintained my currently overweight position, I look forward to trying to beat it in February. I look forward to trying to trim down a little in February if I can get some miles in.
So when you think you've got to leave it, I mean, obviously, like you say, you haven't been feeling better, but you've got to take your time coming back, particularly if there's. You know, if there's been anything respiratory, you've already got to watch that.
Yeah, totally. It's just going to be, you know, 15, 20 minute runs, you know, for a while and just see how I feel
feels,
and stretching
good.
And stuff and nothing, nothing too crazy. And it's easy to say, I feel great, but it's obviously taking a bit out of me. I mean, it stresses you out psychologically. And it's just the whole thing's. I was just meandering really. The whole thing's obviously just an element of stress, and you've just got to, what I have heard from this, and this is not so much for me, but it's more so much for my family. Is take it easy on the way out of it, because it is hard work.
Yeah,
and I've
heard
if you rush back too quickly, you can set yourself back. So we're definitely it's like a marathon. We're respecting the time after it. We're chilling. We're definitely
chill. Absolutely.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So I suppose with getting COVID, you didn't get a chance to do that yoga you said you were going to do last week.
I haven't been doing the yoga, no. But I must say it's on my list after never do yoga. It's immediately after that one. So that's next on my list. It goes never ever do yoga, and then yoga question mark.
But I think from next week, you know, like you haven't been well, so we won't make it February the 1st, but February the 8th, yoga Strava.
Yeah. Do it. What's he doing now? He's doing yoga on Strava. What? What I have been doing is I've been slightly despairing. Well, listen, I'll run. I did a tweet yesterday morning, and what do you think? I got a tweet from a guy. His handle was at Sting. Who said he really likes my book. He said, "I'm not a runner, but I really like my book." And I immediately retweeted, said, "Like, I'm a massive fan of The Police, and this was wonderful to wake up to this morning," with a retweet. I assumed everyone would take that as a joke, because it's obviously not Sting unless Sting has 27 followers. but obviously people haven't got the time to like click through to the original bloke who's included in the retweet, and they just assumed it was Sting. So I had the whole day of people saying, "That's amazing, oh my god." And then I felt guilty for hoodwinking everyone, but at the same time I didn't want to disavow them of the notion that I knew Sting, because surely the world's a better place if people believe that Sting did like my book than if they did. Do you know what I mean? Basically, I've been
The world's a better place, you might make some more money.
Basically, I've been overthinking it, and I've realised that people just don't really examine people's tweets and just think, "Oh, that's great, Sting likes the book."
But also, it does have levels, doesn't it? Because you said you're a big fan of The Police, and of course it wasn't just me who thought it's not entirely clear whether he's talking about the police pop group with the white reggae, or indeed the
institution
metropolitan branch of the force of the nation.
The constabulary itself over. No, we did a couple.
Sting, of course, is one of our talk along Geordies, you know.
Of course he is.
In fact, I've just come through. I'm just coming through the city to the Barbican, on that last corner back there, guys, was Robson Green.
Oh, right. I love the Barbican. I love it.
No, you're right. It was a meta-textual tweet on many levels. I didn't realise. Now I feel stupid. Now I'm feeling that. But yeah, it was one of those. It was one of those tweets. And of course, whilst not wanting to disrespect at all the fella who reached out and liked the book. I mean, who cares? I don't care how many followers you got. It was just. It was a joke. What can I say? It was a joke. I was joking. I made a joke.
I'm detecting a sense of panic.
It's just the whole thing goes out of control.
I think that's in your calendar app for next year. May the 12th, isn't it? It was a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
I've not been well.
If you're making a joke, make it clear it's a joke. But yeah, it's. It's been a funny week. It's been a bizarre and funny week. I've been playing a lot of chess with the kids actually, and I know you've been playing a fair bit of chess as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been losing a lot of chess. 100% of all the chess I've played, I've been losing.
I bet your lad's really good at chess, though, isn't he? I bet he's really.
Well, he's absolutely great. He's really good. And it's interesting because, in all seriousness, the game has really developed.
Yes.
Between his competitiveness, mine too, but, you know, he loves to win.
Yeah.
So I'd be more apologetic that he always wins. But, of course, it puts a spring in his step.
Yes.
And, but it has changed, you know. Chess is such a nuanced game.
Yes.
And I've got a lot more careful. It's a really cagey game. We kind of circle each other. It's very rarely pieces get taken a lot less often.
Right. Well,
if you imagine, like a couple of weeks ago when we were playing chess, it's just like a really scrappy fight.
Yes.
And then
he
beat me. And now it's like two old swordsmen. Oh, he says we're playing like owls, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's good.
We're kind of slowly circling each other. But then the funny thing is, he will, and I'll be watching him thinking, I know what he's thinking of doing. And then he just does it anyway.
Yeah,
and I've got no way of stopping him. And he just, it's like we circle each other quietly and seriously for 10 minutes.
And it just
kills me.
Yeah, it just kills me.
Like Jason Bourne at the beginning of the rubbish Bourne film.
That sounds good. Our games are still locked in the feverish battle for each individual piece phase and a kind of definite turn of just a battle for pieces, and there's loads of rows like, you can't take your move back if you took your finger off it. You can't take your move back. we're still stuck in those kind of games. They're quite dramatic mistakes. People, oh no, and then you've lost your queen, you know. But it's good fun though. I'm really enjoying it. We're having, what can I say?
Absolutely great. I'm also playing a lot of cribbage, which is a lockdown classic.
I found
a crib app last year when I was trying to play crib with Paul Meyerhog when he was quarantined on his own in Canada.
Yeah.
But the better app is one that you can't interact, you just play on your own.
All right, and okay.
God, I had such a good game of cribbage with my iPad on the toilet the other day.
Do you know what? I've never played cribbage. I've got no idea what is it? What's cribbage? I've got no idea what it is.
Well, it's really, really old-fashioned, and I think that it would have died out, except, strangely, it's popular with Canadians.
Right.
I think because as far as I know, it's something that people in kind of blue-collar Canada play on their breaks for money.
Right, okay.
Which is good, because that means that when you get into it, there's a real serious, a bit like what you were saying, there's a real serious sense of waiting for someone to make a mistake
and
playing for money. It gives it a really hard edge, you know, which is good, because I like that, but I don't like gambling games. I don't like gambling.
Yeah, that's fair.
I like the risk.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
But anyway, so it's an ancient game. Apparently cribbage predates cards.
Right.
So that basically as the pack of cards developed its current format, they fit cribbage to fit the cards, you know what I mean? Because all the rules are not like any other card game.
It's a card game.
Right,
okay.
But you basically score.
Right.
You score in a really random kind of Harry Potter universe collection of things.
Okay.
And you also race your score on little pegs, little leapfrogging pegs.
Okay.
Which is, you can do it just doing a tally, but it's much more fun to watch your pegs rushing up and down the board.
Right. Cool. That sounds interesting. I've got.
I think you're stretching the word interesting a little bit there, but
and it's
ancient games the resistance to modern apps. More cribbage than Strava. Over.
cribbage/yoga/Strava. Over. Delete.
You're doing great.
Delete program.
15
over.
For 2.
15
for 4.
You're talking about gambling. You're talking about gambling. My lad made I don't know if you were across all that GameStop stuff. When the little guy took on the hedge funds guys last week. My lad made £300 on that day. He was part of the revolution.
How much money did he make?
He made £300.
That's good. You dropped out on the 100.
Yeah.
So I literally thought he'd made £3. I was like,
300?
Wow, he made. That is not much.
£300,000. No, he made 300 because they're so hands on him and his mates on trading apps and stuff.
And
of course, I've always been like, I don't really understand anything at all about that kind of thing. But I was just amazed. He said, yeah, we're in on it. I've just invested in BlackBerry and we've done really well. And he was just sort of, just really weird. Just this sort of mad day until he got stopped, of course. For one day.
Well, you can't have people who haven't got millions of pounds making millions of pounds.
It was incredible.
The people who've got millions and billions of pounds.
It was incredible. That sort of perfect storm of loads of kids at home with time on their hands and government stimulus checks in America. And they it was just a wild day, but it was just funny to me that my lad was sort of in some way in on it. So
yeah,
just sort of gambling. Good luck to him.
Absolutely great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Did you take the money off him though? Did you make him spend it on you?
I'd love to. Well, interestingly enough, he then lost it the next day, and then to try and get that back, this again just makes me feel really old. He paid £300 to this company called Heat. And they send you a box back of designer goods that are meant to be worth £500. But it's a blind box. You blind designer goods blind through the internet. So he gets...
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
It's a great idea, yeah. So he opens he opens up the box and there's a pair of sort of designer jeans worth, without a doubt, £600. He can, of course, he can get £600 on that immediately. So he puts he puts them on his various websites, eBay and stuff. Can't sell them. Can't bloody sell them. Bloody hell!
Who wants them? Oh, that has come out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, exactly. What kind of business model is it offering people to double their money through designer gear? But anyway, we all make mistakes.
Mind you, my daughter does Depop. You know, she's mine does.
Yeah. Mind
it is all very low, you know, that's really good because you'll say, I've just spent £650 on a jumper and stuff. She's doing so well.
Yeah.
She's got a whole new wardrobe. She looks blooming great.
No, good for
and
her.
Now we've got a problem because it's lockdown. It's like, when are you going to wear these clothes?
Yeah.
Also, there's quite a lot of soft woolens. So even if we're all out in summer,
yes,
everyone's going to be saying, God, you look great. And she'll be like, yeah, I'm so blooming hot.
but my daughter does Depop as well. And I've been a little bit sort of... dismissive about George's investment sort of
dismissive of children's
dismissive investment mistakes, but it's fascinating, isn't it, how this next generation just they buy and sell stuff online or they invest in things. I don't know, it's just that sort of the fluidity with which they engage in that stuff is just a lot more.
Yeah, and it's kind of, they really do speak the language. You kind of think, oh, I get what they're doing, but I don't really get what they're doing.
No, exactly. It's another thing that they're just creating and engaging in that we didn't and don't quite understand, and it's theirs. And I just think it's fantastic. I was just like, just really cheered me up. So, yeah, so it's not all bad. They're doing okay.
Good on them. Right. Yeah. And also, in the meantime, George could just wear those jeans and look great.
He could wear those 600, definitely worth £600 jeans.
All right, I've got a challenge for you. Guess where I am.
I think you are... somewhere in Shoreditch.
I'm beyond that now. I'm at the Barbican.
All right. Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. So you're doing a real urban run today.
Well, I just found this one of my new runs because it's got busy again in the parks. And
of course,
at the moment, as you know, if you get off the paths, it's very muddy.
Yeah.
So I was looking for a kind of road run.
Yeah.
And we cycled down here the other day on a quiet cycling route, and it's a real cut through. And it's only about, I'm at the Barbican now, I think I've gone about 3 miles from my front door.
Right, nice.
And
nice.
We love it down here, you know, I've just been looking up at the old, last year when it was open, obviously open in a very sort of distanced and summer 2020 way, we were going to the Barbican Winter Garden, which is just amazing. And I got a poster of it for my wife for her birthday, and also over the road there at the cinema, you probably saw online last week talking about watching Moonstruck.
Yes, I've seen that, yeah.
We went to see that with an introduction there last year, so it's a little bit of a pilgrimage.
Nice.
And a little bit of a Barbican pilgrimage.
Is it a bit weird being in town when there's no one there? I suppose everyone's used to it now, aren't
they? Well, I think, yes, absolutely, but I think actually when you get into like the city and in amongst the skyscrapers and stuff, it makes more sense that there's no one here because it's sort of, it's not designed, it's not social.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it's not like being down my local shops and pubs and like, yes. Oh, these are all closed and that's really sad.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
I'm now
yeah.
in between kind of weird big office buildings.
Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah. Will they ever refill? That's the question.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going past the Wagamama as you speak, and there's no one in there, and that's weird. But you know,
no one in there. You want to pop in there? Get a table while you can, mate. Free noodles at Wagamama. No, it's
honestly doing the old tax return. It's always interesting, isn't it? Oh, here we are with me not being interesting and saying it's interesting, but it's always a strange journey because it's all miserable and money and all that stuff. And of course, you get a little kind of receipt-based tour of all the places you've ever been.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
this year in particular, you know, I was travelling back to a year and a half ago. I was blooming everywhere.
Yes.
And the reason I've thought of it is the number of Wagamamas, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Ease up. I often have to work out whether there was two people there or not. Yeah. I was like, nope. That was all for me.
Next year's tax return is going to be a lot quicker. Yeah.
That's right.
Nothing doing at all. Have you had any gigs or any Zoomy gigs happening, or have you had anything go on?
No gigs, no, not nothing, nothing live since Christmas. Right. Eleanor is doing a live recording of her one of her Edinburgh shows. She's recording for Radio 4 this week.
Yes, fantastic.
So that's good. That. But again, even that is not live as such. It's a audio record, you know.
Right.
I've got work on, though. I'm in the second edit of the book.
Brilliant. So that's, yes, fantastic. Good.
Yeah, and love to all the people who are still waiting for that. And it's sometime soon now.
That's all right.
It is sometime soon now.
That's okay. Yeah, isn't it meant to be coming out in? Isn't it meant to be coming out in the summer?
It's fishy. It's early August.
Right.
But I haven't shouted about it because I know that last lockdown, some books were delayed because of printing and paper. You know, lockdown affects everything, doesn't it?
But yes. Yeah.
If all goes to plan,
good.
It's beginning of August is when it actually comes out in real life.
Yes.
And of course, if you helped fund and publish it, you get access to it slightly earlier than everyone else. So there's that.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I think that this week is the last week where you can pledge. Well, it's not a pledge anymore. It's a pre-order, basically.
Right.
But if you pledge your pre-order this week, you can still get your name in the book.
Nice. Yeah. I noticed online a lot of people... It seemed to me a lot of people had a decent January in terms of running. I mean, a lot of a lot of listeners, a lot of people just tweeting in or sharing on Facebook that had quite a solid month of mileage in this longest month ever lived.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's right. A lot of running every day.
Some pretty
lot
impressive
of
figures.
Different and unusual challenges. It's good how many challenges there are because they're all quite bespoke.
Yeah,
you know, it's perfect, really, is that when you look down our timeline, and one person's saying, "I'm so pleased because I've been ill and I've come back and I did 5K."
Yes,
and
yeah,
someone else
amazing,
is saying,
yeah.
"I'm so pleased because I said to myself I'd run in the dark in the mud for 2.5 hours every day and I did."
No, it's amazing. It is amazing. You've got people like doing like, you know, who've done like 100 kilometres in the last month, and they're just as elated and achieved as much as people who've done like nearly 400 miles. It's just nice to get that breadth, isn't it? That breadth of
exactly. It's your journey, and whatever you're achieving is that's all that matters, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It's really great.
No, totally. So it's
also
yeah,
I should
it's,
say
it's
I've
amazing.
Just got
and,
the,
and somewhere in the middle of this, I know I tend towards the optimistic, but the days are longer at the moment, and if you look at the stats, hospital admissions cases are falling. They're falling quite rapidly at the moment. At some point, I do think something's happened.
Are you talking about hope?
Yes, I'm talking. I'm offering hope. That's what I'm doing. But you know, I always tend towards hope. I always tend towards the optimistic, but. I do think a combination of vaccine and lockdown is starting to kick in. But obviously it's too early. It's too early to, I'm not dreaming. It's too early to dream, but I do.
Well,
I do occasionally.
Sang, oh, we shall see.
God.
Did I make you cough? I was being Lulu. I regret it now, obviously.
No, I'm in no state to dream, but occasionally I am mugged by hope around the house. Occasionally I dare to hope.
I remember when I had a new agent years ago, and I came home that day, and I got to my front door. I said, it's got a weird feeling. It's got a strange emotion I don't recognise. And it was hope.
Hope is absolutely... Hope is brilliant. Hope is absolutely... It's indestructible, isn't it? Hope. I don't know. I just cannot. I can't resist it. It's just there constantly for me. But I do think. I do think it's founded in some hard stats, Mr. Deering. That's all I'm going to say.
Mind your stats. Mind hard, out hard for stats. Those stats.
But yes, we. But this time next week, I think it's distinctly feasible. That we will run. I wanted to leave it a good week after my isolation, just to relax you more than anything, because obviously it's a layer of.
Well, as long as you know, and I'm lifting someone else's joke from Twitter here, but as your friend Sting might say, don't stand so, don't stand so, don't stand so close to me.
Yeah, I was thinking of printing a landlord saying it's okay, I can stand close. I've just had COVID. Relax, just to put everyone at ease as I walk round Crouch End. relax, have it. It doesn't quite work that way, does it? But
No.
Especially when you say, just had it. Relax, just had it.
Just had it. This is the best time.
Yeah, best time to mingle. But no, I'm desperate to go out for a run, and I will be doing as soon as I can. So yes, let's do it. Let's have it. Let's have it, but not
stuff.
Have it.
So, well, let's talk of hopes and dreams. Mm. What would your running year be? Let's try and focus on running, but obviously there's sort of getting back out there. We'll see what happens with the world and everything.
Yeah.
But what could speculate? What do you think? Well, I'm looking forward to.
I mean, for me, it would be. I keep having I mean, obviously, part run stuff coming back. I love those. They keep me going. One mass marathon in some shape or form. I don't think to compete. I don't think to try and run fast, but just to participate.
Just to do it. Yeah,
And
I got an email saying the other day, and you might have got one too. It said, "You're running the Manchester Marathon on October the 10th."
Yeah.
And I was like, am I?
Yeah, totally.
Great, I suppose.
I don't know whether I can quite commit to that as yet, but I would like to. I'd like to run a big marathon in the autumn. But mostly just summer track. If society opened up and I got fit enough and we could just have a summer track championships and I could run 5K on the track as fast as I could, that would be great. Yeah. That would feel fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing for me. Or just running through the country in the sun, you know, and everyone out. Just,
yeah, yeah.
That'd be enough. That'd be enough.
Somewhere else. Get up to, imagine that. Imagine if we could get to the old Crosby Beach Park Run.
Yeah, that'd
and
be...
And run up there on the sand and the dunes with Anthony Gormley's statues and
no,
those
be
nice
fantastic.
People
no,
up there.
That'd be great. Do you have an experience in mind or something you're aiming for or what? A picture in your mind.
I'd like to try and kind of, I still feel like I'm consolidating, trying to run quite steady and strengthen these bits of me that are kind of hurting.
Yeah.
But over time, I want to work on speed. I want to get my speed back.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And
then I want to, you know, I'd like to run a nippy okay, in an ideal world, I would work on speed all year.
Yeah.
And I'd wrap it up with a sub-3:30 marathon in October.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's good. It's good to get that out there. That's good. And once I'm fit again and we're allowed, the way to do that, a little bit of the way to do it, is get on the track every now and again, me and you.
Yeah, we should do it. Absolutely.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. All right.
We should book it, though, because that bloke does get cross.
He's one of the few people who seems a bit resistant to runners at the moment, but unusually to everyone else, he actually works on a track. So his life is just engineered for maximum annoyance, maximum irritation.
Well, I've just reached St. Paul's Cathedral.
Oh, beautiful.
So I think what I'd like to do is get up on the roof of that and then run across the top of Blackfriars Bridge.
Beautiful.
With my head very still and my weight back and my knees out in front.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
And try and catch Henry Cavill before he catches his helicopter off the top of Tate Modern.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good to have achievable goals, definitely. chunk it down. Chunk it down. Smart, measurable,
down
actual, real-time, time-based. Yeah, absolutely.
Ah, well, as is often the case, I think that my phone is going to let us down, so I'm going to let you go before we get cut off.
Absolute pleasure, and have fun on the way back.
We're very glad you're feeling better.
I'm feeling great, mate. I feel better than I have in ages, but I think so much of that is not boozing. It's just been a real godsend. But this time next week, mate, don't worry, we'll be out and about.
This time next year, Rodney, we'll be millionaires.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.